Welcome back.
Thank you.
My name's Simon Clark. I'm a grateful recovered alcoholic. We're going to go to one on this session, I think.
One, exactly.
Yeah, so we've got about an hour and a half, and there is nothing that I would rather talk more about than working with others, in the 12-step work and sponsorship. Throughout the book, if you read the big book, and I've seen some of you reading it, even right from the start, in the very, very early chapters, forward to the first edition, talks about 12-step work. Forward to the second edition, mentions 12-step work multiple times. Doctor's opinion. In the third paragraph on the doctor's opinion, it says, in the third course of his third treatment, he acquired certain ideas concerning the possible means of recovery. As part of his rehabilitation, he commenced to present his conceptions to other alcoholics, impressing upon them that they must do likewise with still others. 12-step work. This has become the basis of a rapidly growing fellowship of these men and their families. This man and over 100 others appear to have recovered as a basis of working the 12 steps and going and carrying this message about the program to other alcoholics. And he talked about it in the doctor's opinion there. Bill Story talks about 12-step work. Bottom of page 14, you know, Bill writes this: for if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life, and I sometimes come across people and they say, you know, I'm getting spiritual, I'm doing this, I'm working on my spiritual life, I'm doing that, and I'm doing this, and I'm working on my spiritual life. Well, I try not to take this out of context, because Bill Wilson says, for if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, that's how I perfect and enlarge my spiritual life. Through work and self-sacrifice for others. If he did not work, he would surely drink again. And if he drank, he would surely die. Now there's a condition there. What he's saying is, if I don't do 12-step work, if I don't work with others, I will drink again. He writes also, it's a design for living that works in rough going. See, if I'm not doing 12-step work and I'm having a rough time, what I see now is that I end up sharing how bad my life is with you, telling you what a bum deal I've got. And basically, I'm backing self. But the design for living that works in rough going is the 12-step work. He said, here, many times I've gone to my old hospital in despair. On talking to a man there, I would be amazingly lifted and set on my feet. What I see happening in Alcoholics Anonymous is many people going to AA meetings in despair and sharing it. But they're not working with others. Bill writes about that a lot. In the chapter more about alcoholism, We're given three examples. We're given Jim, the car salesman. We're given Fred. And the other chap who was, I don't know this guy's name, actually, the accountant who basically made a decision not to drink until he was successful in business. It's the truth. It's conditional sobriety. The man of 30 doing a great deal of spree drinking. Now, if you read these examples carefully, watch what Alcoholics Anonymous do with the individual when he relapses. Alcoholics Anonymous continue to work with these individuals. Jim the car salesman, and I'll always make reference to this, because Jim the car salesman, what I understand, he did the first 9 steps because his family were reassembled. And he got his job back, which to me means he took some action and was getting some results of the action with the family being reassembled. I believe he worked the first 9 steps. But with Jim Lacasosman, he failed to perfect his spiritual life. He failed to enlarge his spiritual life. See, all went well for a time after the 9th step. He failed to enlarge his spiritual life. How do I enlarge my spiritual life? Well, I just explained it, what Bill writes on 14 and 15, through work and self-sacrifice for others. So it indicates to me that Jim didn't do 12-step work. To his consternation, he found himself drunk half a dozen times in rapid succession. Now, here's an indication of good 12-step work. On each of these occasions, half a dozen times, this guy relapsed. Half a dozen times, Alcoholics Anonymous worked with him, reviewing carefully what happened. He agreed he was a real alcoholic, which means Alcoholics Anonymous obviously qualified him. Is he a moderate drinker? Is he a hard drinker? Is he a real alcoholic? He agreed he was, which means they qualified him. Time after time, Alcoholics Anonymous worked with him. With Fred as well. Bear with me, just need to get to the page. Alcoholics Anonymous worked with Fred, page 39. But Fred wouldn't believe himself as an alcoholic, much less accept a spiritual remedy, God and the 12 steps, for his problem. Alcoholics Anonymous told him what they knew about alcoholism. Physical allergy coupled with a mental obsession, piling on the hopelessness of this condition. He was interested and conceded that he had some of the symptoms, but he was a long way from admitting that he could do nothing about it himself. So we heard no more from Fred for a while. One day we were told that he was back in hospital. This time he was quite shaky. He soon indicated he was anxious to see us. Alcoholics Anonymous went to him. You know, they continued to work with the guy even though he was relapsing. Yeah. My experience has been is that I get to a spot in step 10 where the problem does not exist. I get to a step in step 10 where the problem has been removed and I have this power. I need to give that away. My sobriety is dependent upon doing 12-step work. And I only speak for myself. I must do it. Because if I don't do it, I wake up exactly what Peter talked about in Bill, with Bill's story. Is that, you know, he was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. That's what happens with me when I don't think of others, when I don't work with others. Now, there is a difference I've learned between sponsorship and working with others. I sponsor around 8 or 9 men today, but I also serve groups, have an intergroup commitment. I have a commitment towards XA speakers in carrying this message. I'm part of the audit team. I'm so grateful to be part of that audit team for XA speakers. And I try and work with others in anything that's carrying the message, because while I'm doing that, I'm outside of myself. We have, in our local intergroup, there was a telephone service that has been put up. Now, don't quote me on the numbers, but it's approximately, we have about 30 English-speaking AA groups a week down where we are, with a membership of about 220 people. That telephone responders list was issued, and there were six, seven people out of a fellowship of 200 or 220 people who volunteered to do 12-step work. See, I learned, and the book goes on to say, that we never avoid these responsibilities. I get to a spot called recovered and get given great power. For me, 12-step work and working with others is not an option. I must do it. I need to live. I want to live. I have to carry this message. In our local, and I can't speak for here, but in our part of the world, we also, our group, the primary purpose group, we also have 2 detox meetings a month. And somebody asked a question here a couple of days ago, I believe, how do you do outreach, or how do you do hospitals and institutions? Well, I can tell you from my own experience that this is what you do. Telephone your local hospital, under either through or with a PI committee in your local intergroup. If you can do it that way, great. If you can't, it doesn't matter. Make contact. explain who you are and what you're looking to do, which is what we did, and that we only want to be helpful in carrying the message to the patients that are still suffering in that unit. We went along and had a meeting with the doctor with a copy of the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We shared our experience that we have recovered from alcoholism. Alcoholics Anonymous does exist. Here are the meeting lists. Here are the groups that are working and studying from the big book Alcoholics Anonymous, and here are the groups that are not. And then this doctor started to refer patients to us, and they came into contact with us, and we went to see them, and we sat down and worked with them, 12-stepped them, qualified them, find out if they were a real alcoholic or whether they were a hard drinker or a moderate drinker, and we were able to work with some of these patients within the unit and be the link between the facility and the AA group in the recovery community once they left. It's called Bridging the Gap. There's a pamphlet out there about that. I won't turn this into an H&I workshop, but I'm just telling you, it's action. If you want to do it, do it. Just pick the phone up, see how you can be helpful, come out of the book, let them know you want to be helpful. And the whole reason, or the way that this started for me, is because I got through the blind step and I rang Peter up and I was full of self-pity. I've done all of these amends, I'm doing all this, but I feel like this. Ugh. Told you it wouldn't work. Look at it out there. I'm not going to get my money I want. And he just said, you better go work with another drunk. What he didn't say was, go to a meeting and talk about it and share how you feel. This man understood that my life depended on working with others. And I went up to the hospital, met a patient in the patient ground, told her what I knew of alcoholism, outlined the spiritual program of action to her, and this lady was then connected with a woman sponsor, and she celebrated 2 years of sobriety about 2 weeks ago. But I had to do it, because otherwise I was going to stay with inside of myself and get uncomfortable. And this is how we do it. We have two deep detox meetings a month now, where we go in and we do something called the foundation meeting that comes from the primary purpose group in Dallas, Texas. And while we were over there, we got to see that in action. And Peter wrote the format from the primary purpose group in Dallas, Texas. And we've now started to work the foundation meeting in these two facilities. And some of those people come and some of them don't. Some of them walk out and some of them stay. Yeah? But it keeps me sober. Yeah? We also offer sponsorship to those people, and we're able to work with them out of the big book Alcoholics Anonymous and Free. But that's how you do it. And it's speaking from experience. Got this thing through for box 459. I don't know whether you guys get this, but we got this through just a couple of days ago. It says our 12th step, and talking as a fellowship as a whole, carrying the message, not my message, the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, is the basic service that the AA fellowship gives. This is our principal aim and the main reason for our existence. That's why we're here, guys. You recovered. You slipped through. You got well. I got well. Our principal service is to be there for the newcomer. That's our primary purpose. That's our primary purpose. Tradition 5 says that we have one primary purpose, to carry this message to the alcoholic that still suffers. Now, I put that into practice in my personal life, but also at a group level. That's the main reason for our existence. Therefore, AA is more than a set of principles. It is a society of alcoholics in action. We must carry the message. Else, we ourselves can wither, and those who haven't have been given the truth. It says here, may die. I'll say, will die. We get given great power as recovered members of Alcoholics Anonymous. I get given great power to do this. It says here on the front of this little picture, it says 12th step. It also says responsibility. Now, I've been given the power by the grace of God and the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've recovered today. I feel responsible. Working with others says, perhaps you are not acquainted with any drinkers who want to recover. It says you can easily find some by asking a few doctors, ministers, priests or hospitals. That implies action. That implies not sitting in a meeting and waiting for them to come through the door. What that implies is I've got to get off my butt, make some calls, take some time out and see if I can help somebody. And I tell you, as a result of doing that, I walk away time after time. It never fails, book says. Never fails. I walk away feeling at $1 million. Really. I'm no longer worrying about how much I'm going to get paid, or is she going to stay, or is she going to go, or why did she look at me like that this morning, or what he's doing, or what this, I don't this. I walk away from there feeling great, empowered. Not powerless over people, places and things. Powerful. And that power comes from God as a result of the action in these 12 steps. Also tells us exactly what to do on a 12-step call. Top of page 90. When you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, find out all you can about him. If he doesn't want to stop drinking, don't waste time trying to persuade him. You may spoil a later opportunity. This advice is given for the family also. If there is any indication he wants to stop, have a good talk with him. Have a good talk with the person most interested in, usually his wife. Get an idea of his behaviour, his problems, his backgrounds, the seriousness of his condition, and his religious leanings. Sometimes it's wise to wait until he goes on a binge. The family may object to this, but unless he's in dangerous physical condition, it's better to risk it. Don't deal with him when he's very drunk, unless he is ugly and the family needs your help. And it says here, then let his family or a friend ask him if he wants to quit for good. Not one day at a time, not just for today, for good, and if he would go to any extreme to do so. If he says yes, then his attention should be drawn to you as a person who has recovered. You should be described to him as part of the fellowship, who is part of their own recovery. Try to help others and he will be glad to talk to him if he cares to see you. If he doesn't want to see you, never force yourself upon him. It says down the bottom here. You might place this book, not Living Sober, not the pamphlets, because Living Sober is not going to give me clear-cut instructions on how to have a spiritual experience. And if I'm a real alcoholic, that's the only solution for me. This book, Alcoholics Anonymous, where you can see it in the interval, tells us what to do on the first visit. And here we go. At first, engage in general conversation. After a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Peter and I did a Working With Others workshop for our local intergroup last month. And it was basically on this chapter, sharing our experience along with this, and giving the exact instructions on what to do on a 12-step call. And I think they were going, yeah, we're going to order a load of big books, and we'll take big books out. And sort of heard a couple of weeks later that there's sort of lots of different pamphlets and things that they're going to give to them instead. Now, I'm a big book thumper. This has worked for me. I want it to work for the person that I'm working with. And why would I withhold the solution from a real alcoholic who's dying of untreated alcoholism? Why would I withhold the solution and give him some other information? That's a death sentence. I have a responsibility, one chief primary purpose, to carry the message in its purity and entirety to the real alcoholic. Why would I give him something else that's going to confuse the hell out of him? I would be responsible for his death if I do that. I need to tell him the truth. After a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Tell him enough about your drinking habits, symptoms and experiences to encourage him to speak of himself. That's where we share our war stories, our drinking histories, what it was like, how much we drank, what happened, how many drink driving bans we got, how many times we were in prison as a result of the consequences. But it doesn't say in grave detail either. It says some phase of drinking. This is where we use our experiences. Why? To encourage him to speak of himself. If he wishes to talk, let him to do so. You'll thus get a better idea of how you ought to proceed. If he is not communicative, give him a sketch of your drinking career up until the time you quit. But say nothing for the moment of how that was accomplished. we share our drinking histories, and it, for this reason, and it's coming up. When he sees you know all about the drinking game, and he sees we know all about the drinking game because we've shared our war stories, we've shared our drinking escapades with him, convince us to describe yourself as an alcoholic. Tell him how baffled you were, how you finally learned that you were sick. Give him an account of the struggles you made to stop. Show him where you've lost the power of choice in order to make the decision to stop stick. Give him an account of the struggles you made to stop. Show him the mental twist which leads to the first drink of a spree. And they're even telling us where to refer to. Chat more about alcoholism. If he's an alcoholic, he will understand you at once. There's the identification. We've spoken about war stories to get him to speak of himself. We then share ours. He's identified with us. Now we're on common ground. Now we can move forward. Yeah? If you are satisfied that he is a real alcoholic, not the moderate drinker, not the hard drinker, I don't really care what they do. If you are satisfied he's a real alcoholic, the guy that cannot not drink, the guy that cannot stay out of the crack house, the guy that cannot stay away from the cocaine dealer, the guy that cannot stop, needs to stop, wants to stop, but cannot stop. Asking us to qualify him. Begin to dwell on the hopeless feature of the malady. Showing from your own experience how the queer mental condition surrounding the first drink prevents normal functioning of the willpower. Continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. Yeah, gives me great instructions on how to approach this. And doing it this way, I've got no room to harm the guy. I tell him exactly what happened to me, exactly the progressive, fatal, chronic nature of this illness called alcoholism. That way there's no room for opinions. There's no room for middle-of-the-road solutions to come in and affect the guy and give him a confused message. I learned this from a friend of mine in Texas. We have one shot at these people. One shot. I don't know when the mental obsession in this guy is going to come back. I don't know when he's going to drink again, but I need to make sure that I am pulling in with a vision. I'm doing this stuff properly in order that I may be able to help save somebody's life. Exactly what he said in box 451. Even though your protege may have not entirely admitted his condition, he's become very curious to know how you got well. Yeah, I bet he has. Let him ask you that question. Tell him exactly what happened to you. Stress the spiritual feature freely. If the man be agnostic or atheist, make it emphatic that he does not have to agree with your conception of God. He can choose any conception he likes, provided it makes sense to him. The main thing is that he'd be willing to believe in a power greater than himself and that he lived by spiritual principles. The 12 steps. And I do this today. And it's effective. Because it's a message of depth and weight. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. And it's the instructions here are to speak to him about God. And we hear it, you know, all the time. Well, don't mention God on the first visit. You're going to scare him away. Fine. If that's what we need to do, fine. But alcoholism will kick him back in if he's lucky. The main thing is that he'd be willing to believe in a power greater than himself. I've had 12-step calls where people say, I'm desperate, I'm dying. You know, I don't know what to do. I can't stop drinking. I go through the deal with them in this book and I qualify them. Speak to them about my understanding of this power called God. Oh, no way. Sorry. Can't help you. Maybe they need to go back more down the crack house, smoke some more crack cocaine, or keep drinking again, and maybe then they'll be slightly willing to believe that there's something out there. But I can't waste my time with people who do not want this solution. But the real alcoholic that does, and is willing to do it, and is willing to go to any length to get it, I give him night and day to work this work because I know it works. Page 94, we're still on the first visit. It's outlined the programme of action. Explain how you made a self-appraisal, step 4. How you straightened out your past, steps 8 and 9. And why you are now endeavouring to be helpful to him, step 12. See, on that first visit, on the 12-step call, once the guy's asked me, what did I do to get well, I'm now speaking to him about God and the 12 steps on the first visit, before he's in a meeting, before he had a chance to read any other conference-approved literature, before he gets, you know, his bag full of share magazines, box 459s, and gets confused. I'm not looking at any of that stuff, I'm just saying, but for the newcomer, we need to keep it simple. Before any of that happens, we speak with him about God and the 12 steps. It's important for him to realise that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital part in your own recovery. Make it plain that he's under no obligation to you, that you only hope that he will try to help others. We're already talking to the guy about God, the 12 steps, and him doing 12-step work on the first visit. And now I sit in AA meetings where I'm from, and I hear you're not sober enough to work with anyone until you've been sober 2 years. Sorry, not what my big book says. Thank God Peter didn't say that to me when I came back in fifth time round. Thank God. I would not be here today. Suggest how important it is that he placed the welfare of other people ahead of his own. More 12-step work. Oh, God. Maybe you've disturbed him about the... But it also says here, if your talk has been sane, quiet and full of human understanding... And please forgive me if my talk hasn't been sane, quiet, full of human understanding. I do have a tendency to get passionate about this stuff. But maybe you've disturbed him about the question of alcoholism. He says this is all to the good. The more hopeless he feels, the better. Goes on to say, your candidate may give reasons why he not follow all of the programme. No kidding. He may rebel at the thought of a drastic house cleaning, step 4, which requires discussion with other people, step 5. Don't contradict it. Tell him you once felt as he does. But you doubt whether you've made much progress had you not taken action. On your first visit, tell him about the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. If he is interested, lend him your copy of this book. And this is where it's important that I make a clear distinction between the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. You see, my book says that no human power can relieve my alcoholism. And the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous is human power. Now, I'm not saying the fellowship's not important, but the fellowship on its own won't keep me sober. I've experienced it, 5 1-year chips in 5 years, just relying on fellowship and service. Lots of meetings, and I continually relapsed, and my life got worse as a result of it. The Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous is where we meet in order that the newcomer may find this solution. And in the early days, what they had was step studies and speaker meetings. And all of these people in those early days, in those first meetings, had recovered, had a spiritual experience, and were carrying this message to the newcomer. Further on, it talks about, you know, electric environments within meetings. Newcomer walks in, he's getting pulled with a vision, offered sponsorship immediately, taken through this work rapidly, turned around, going and working with someone else. I explain the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. And also, I'm truthful enough to let them know what groups are living this deal and what groups aren't. And I also let the person know that in some meetings he may not hear this message. Why would I deny another alcoholic the truth? It wasn't denied for me. I make it a responsibility for me to do that. And then the book, give him a copy of this book. Why? Because the book is the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. There's two things going on. There's the program and then there's the fellowship. If he doesn't want to talk about himself, don't worry about your welcome. Give him a chance to think it over. If he's sincerely interested and wants to see you again, ask him to read this book in the interval. After doing that, he must decide for himself whether he wants to go on. He should not be pushed or prodded by you, his wife, and his friends. And here it is. If he is to find God, the desire must come from within. And it works doing it that way. I've seen it, and I've also experienced it without knowledge and being properly on with the fact of trying to pull newcomers into meetings and just come to the meeting. Sure, come to the meeting, but if the meeting isn't carrying the message about the spiritual experience and the program, the guy's not going to hear how to get well. That's why tradition 5 is so important in our environment. Even if we take the guy to the meeting, let's get the guy to a meeting where he's going to hear how to get sober. Let's take him to a meeting. Let's take him to a meeting where he's going to hear about the absolute life-changing, deep and effective spiritual experience as a result of working the 12 steps. Let's take him to a meeting where there's some guys that can sponsor him immediately. And I would also add, I've got on a 12-step call, I also qualify, am I need to find out if I'm dealing with a real alcoholic or if I'm dealing with a real drug addict. Because if the guy is a drug addict, I do not take him to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. We have a thing called the Singleness of Purpose. I respect it. I'm a membership of both fellowships, Cocaine and Alcoholics Anonymous. I believe in singleness of purpose. If he's a real drug addict, can't control it once he starts, can't stay stopped, we get him connected to the CA guys where we're from and into the CA meetings. If he's an alcoholic, we get him connected to a group that are doing the deal. It says he must be pushed or prodded. I don't chase them. I let them read the first 164 pages of the book, decide for themselves whether they want to go through with the programme of action. If I get the call and say, yeah, okay, let's go. Now. Goes on to some of the first visit stuff. It also says here a couple of things that I've highlighted is we find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot and will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. We were working with someone a couple of months ago, and this individual had been in and out for a while, and it was amazing. We were actually in the States at the time, last year in New York, attended a conference, and where we're from, primary purpose group is kind of, whoa, that book, those people, don't go there. But the interesting thing is that the mainstream fellowship, once they get a real alcoholic on their hands, they're on the phone to us because they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do with the Alcoholics Anonymous, where I'm from, does not know what to do with the real alcoholic. But all of a sudden, our group becomes very popular when they don't know what to do. Work that one out. We worked with this woman for a time. We made a good beginning, and she went away, and she came back, and she went away, and we tried to work with her, and there were some other complications involved. And I was called up a couple of months ago by a friend of her. I went along with another woman who was doing the deal as well, and we went round and saw her, and there was a friend of the family there. And my first question to her was, are you done for good and for all? And she was a mess. She looked up at me, the apartment was in it was just dark, it was messy, and it was horrible. I mean, the home was drunk. And she looked up at me, and she went, pfft, and shrugged her shoulders. And I said, bye. Nothing I can do. And then the friend of the family said, that's a little bit rigid. Why did you do that? And I took her to this page in the book. I said, it's a waste of time to keep chasing her. She cannot and will not work with you. If we leave her alone, she may become convinced that she cannot recover by herself. Well, I think that's very tough. Sorry. It's what my people tells me to do. Never failed me yet. Never. But you see, what happens is, you know, someone who's not properly armed with the facts will meet her, and they'll waste time driving her from here to there because she'll manipulate them. Here to there and everywhere, and they'll wonder why it's not working. You know, these guys have dedicated a whole chapter to working with others. A whole chapter so that we don't make the same mistakes that they may have done. So that we're clear on how we do this stuff. Second visit, he's read this volume and says he's prepared to go through with the 12 steps of the program of recovery. Second visit. Still no AA meeting, yeah? Second visit. And he's prepared to go through with the 12 steps of the program. Great, let's go. Having had the experience yourself, you can give him much practical advice. See, I can't do this effectively if I haven't done it myself. We have clear-cut instructions on how to 12-step a real alcoholic here. I need to have had the experience myself before I go and do it. If I start 12-stepping a real alcoholic and I haven't had the experience myself, the message that I carry to him, is he going to have depth and weight? Is he going to have confidence in my ability to show him the solution? Am I going to harm him with opinions that I've picked up along the way in the middle of the road 8 a.m.? Probably. One shot at these people. It says, let him know you're available if he wishes to make a decision, step 3, and tell his story, step 4 and 5. But do not insist upon it if he prefers to consult someone else. This kind of goes into a kind of like a sponsorship deal from here, because the guy read the book, prepared to go through the steps. Some instructions around working with homeless people. Both Pete and I worked with a homeless guy a couple of years ago now. And he was a street drunk, had picked up wonderful techniques in getting what he wanted out of people and convincing people that he must have a roof over his head and he can't get sober until he has this. And I'll be honest with you, subsequently at the time, I hadn't had as much experience as I have done up until today. So I made some mistakes. And I found myself paying for him to stay in a hotel room, emptying out my wardrobe with lots of clothes and trainers that I didn't use anymore and giving them to him. And I mean, he was kind of going along with us. You know, he was turning up at meetings and he was praying and trying to do some of the work. But I kind of got it the wrong way around. And afterwards, you know, Peter pointed out that maybe I should read 96, and it says, you know, he may be broken homeless. If he is, you might try to help him about getting a job or give him a little financial assistance. It says, but be sure to use your discretion. Be sure that he will be welcomed by your family, that he is not trying to impose upon you for money, connections or shelter. Permit that and you only harm him. You could be making it impossible for him to be insincere. And he goes on to talk about what I call life in the trench. Never avoid these responsibilities, but be sure you are doing the right thing if you assume them. Helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. A kindly act once in a while isn't enough. You have to be a good Samaritan every day. Now, these are what I call 12-step work promises, or life in the trench. It says it may mean the loss of many nights' sleep. Yeah? Great interference with your pleasures. Yeah. 12-step calls while I'm on a week's holiday. Ugh. Had to do it. See, my conscience won't let me turn my back and not do it. If I can do it, I can't turn my back on it. And I did it. God doesn't send real alcoholics on my doorstep, you know, at the most convenient times. But I have one primary purpose to do it. It may mean sharing your money in your home, interruptions to your business. That's daily for me currently. Counselling frantic wives and relatives, innumerable trips to the police court, sanitariums, hospitals, jails and asylums. Here it is. Your telephone may jangle at any time of the day or night. Your wife may sometimes say she's neglected. A drunk may smash the furniture in your home or burn a mattress. You may have to fight with him if he's violent. Sometimes you have to call a doctor and administer sedatives under his direction. Another time you may have to send for the police or ambulance. It says occasionally you will have to meet such conditions. They're not kidding here. And occasionally, some of them more regularly, but occasionally I have to meet these conditions. But 12-step work is exciting, guys. See, you laugh, but those of you who haven't done it don't know. It's exciting stuff. You start doing this stuff in your life, and it will change your life at a level you cannot believe, you cannot imagine. It is absolutely life-changing doing this stuff. Absolutely life-changing. It says on page 98, and I'll just say a couple of things here, and then I'll hand it over to Peter on this. It says, it's not the matter of giving that's in question, but when and how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. Here we go. The minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than God. Remember the ABCs? No human power can relieve my alcoholism. God could and would if he were sought. He clamours for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. It says further down, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. one primary purpose, even with sponsorship on this guy and working with this guy, my job, based on him reading this and based on me qualifying him and based on him wanting to do this deal, is to get him through these 12 steps as quickly as he can, so that he starts relying on this power rather than human power. I can't fix all of these problems. It's arrogant and selfish to the core if I think I can. I have one primary purpose, to get this guy through this work to have a deep and effective spiritual experience so we can recover, so that he can then start depending on God. I cannot take on all the problems of my prospects or everybody that I work with. I cannot. And I'll also tell you that sponsorship is not tiring if it's done correctly. It gets tiring after you've been up until 4 a.m, 3 a.m, three nights in a row listening to Fifth Steps. That's tiring. I cannot take on all the job. My only job as a sponsor is to get him connected to God through working the 12 steps. Teach him about the fellowship, teach him about the traditions. Sure, I'm available if he wants to talk and visit and do some step 10 stuff of a night or a morning. Absolutely. Not that callous. But I can't take him on. If I start taking on all these problems and giving him my opinion on what I think he should do in that relationship, or listening to him, you know, the other day, oh, so-and-so's got an issue with this. Resentment is probably a good word for issue. It's the truth. The truth. You know, so-and-so suffering from this mind talk. I told them to go and light some candles and have a bath. Stop that. I don't understand that. You know, it says burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that you trust in God and clean house. Trust in God, steps 1 through 3, clean house, steps 4 through 9. Then go work with others. Remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon his relationship with God. Back to the ABCs again. Also says here, you know, and this is what I'm learning at the moment, is both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. A good teacher and Peter both said to me that once you wake somebody up, you walk with them for a while. Once you wake a baby up, you don't just leave it. You attend to it. You walk with it for a while. You know, if somebody's had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, I need to walk with them for a while. I need to guide them a little bit. When we look back, we realise that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything that we could have planned. I'll share this with you. Page 101. In our belief, any scheme of combating alcoholism which proposes to shield the sick man from temptation is doomed to failure. If the alcoholic tries to shield himself, he may succeed for a time, but he usually winds up with a bigger explosion than ever. We have tried these methods. These methods to do the impossible have always failed. And I speak with you experience from this, and it will be the last time I mention this now, and it's a consideration, not a judgment or an observation, but isn't 90 meetings in 90 days some kind of shield? My book says is that we need to get this person connected to God quickly through working the 12 steps. That's going to give him a deep and effective spiritual experience. My experience with that is that 90 meetings in 90 days did shield me, but the internal condition called the spiritual malady was eating me alive, and I was constantly thinking about drinking or getting drink inside of those 90 days. My life didn't get better as a result of doing that. I went to treatment. I was in treatment 7 months. That was a shield. I was locked up for the first 8 weeks. Wasn't even allowed out. Couldn't even go and buy sweets or Diet Coke at the shop. I was given £10 a week to live on. Couldn't even move. 7 months in that facility, learning a lot of information about recovery and about addiction and about triggers enabled with dysfunctional families. 40 days out of that facility, I was drunk. Shield. These attempts to do the impossible will always fail. This is why this works, guys. This is why I get so passionate about this. This is why after spending so long, so many years struggling with this, listening to all of these middle-of-the-road solution for a guy like me, you know, reaching a point of desperation and becoming humble enough being graced with some humility to finally do what somebody suggested me to do, straight out of this book, take certain action that I didn't want to take, but just do it, that I've recovered. And that's why I put myself on the firing line and I try and carry this message wherever I can. Sponsorship is a different deal. Maybe people can kind of go into that, but I'll just touch on it gently around sponsorship. Working with others, it really is anything that can carry this message. You know, we've got public information committees. We've got H&I committees. We've got, you know, literature commitments, treasury commitments, GSR commitments, welcomer commitments, secretary commitments, literature and CHIP commitments, anything. And I don't hold with this information that says you can't work with anyone until you've been sober 2 years. My experience is that the guys that get involved from day one stay. If not, they'll sit on the edge of this, they won't have a clue what this is about, and they'll just drift away and drink or die. And it's exciting. Doing this is exciting. I have a life better than I've ever had, and it keeps getting better on a daily basis. I'm armed with the facts. It's called the Big Book. I'm armed with my own personal experience. All I need to do is relay this with my experience to the new guy after he's been qualified, and I may have helped save somebody's life. To further on in this as well, and I promise I'll stop on this. In the family afterward, it said, cessation of drinking is but the first step away from a highly strained abnormal condition. Cling to the thought, page 124, that in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have, the key to life and happiness for others. With it, you can avert death and misery. And I think somewhere in the chapter to wives, somewhere in the chapter to wives, I've got it underlined somewhere. Yeah, here it is, page 118. Again, this is 12-step work encapsulated. We do not like the thought that the contents of a book or the work of another alcoholic has accomplished, here it is, in a few weeks, that which we have struggled for years. At such moments we forgot that alcoholism is an illness over which we could not possibly have had any power. I'll read it one more time. We do not believe, or we do not like the thought, that the contents of a book or the work of another alcoholic has accomplished in a few weeks. Yet I hear constantly where I'm from, take your time to work the steps. Don't worry about the steps will get you. I know there's some laughter in that, but the sad thing is that the people that generally hear that information, if they're real alcoholic, they don't generally stick around. They either end back up in a hospital after a suicide attempt, or drunk or dead. It's arrogant of me to put my own spin on this. But the ramifications are that I could kill somebody with that information. We've been given the primary purpose, we've been given the set of instructions. If we've had the experience ourselves, we're ready to go work with others. In the first few days, a couple of guys I'm working with at the moment, both of them have worked the steps in about 8 or 9 days, they're out making amends, and they're up at the hospital speaking with other alcoholics. Now, I'm not saying that to boast, I'm just saying that because it's been my experience. We need to work with others, guys. You know, we need to work with others. If you haven't had the experience, find yourself a sponsor. Work the steps rapidly. Take this message back into your own meetings and start doing the deal, and you'll see this change. You'll see yourself change, and you'll see other people change. And if you're in this room and you're telling people to take their time to work the steps, I'm asking you to please stop. Thanks.
Thanks. My name's Peter and I'm a recovered alcoholic.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Peter.
And Dr. Bob got sober with Bill. Bill was about to drink. And he knew that he would he'd kind of feel better if he weren't another drunk. And he was in the lobby of this hotel, and there was a list of churches and stuff, and he knew that if he found a pastor or a priest or something, that they would know someone with alcohol, that was alcohol. That's part of what we do. I go talk to priests. don't talk about God much, but I go talk to priests when I feel suicidal and stuff. And he saw this one guy, and it was a priest called Walter Tunks, and Tunks rhymed with drunks. And so he found him. This is a story of seconds and inches. There are no coincidences here. Yeah. Why did he phone that guy? That guy knew someone that knew someone that knew someone that was a drunk, that had only just admitted he was a drunk, and they'd been praying for him. His name is Dr. Bob. Bill went to see Dr. Bob, and he told Dr. Bob how he drank. And Dr. Bob said, "Wow, I drink just like that. No one's ever told me that before." You see, when I'm talking to somebody and I can get you either laughing or nodding, I gotcha. Because you're thinking the same way as I'm thinking, and I'm thinking the same way as you're thinking. And if I'm a duck and you're a duck, you're thinking like a duck, you're a duck too. So I'm thinking like an alcoholic. I can describe what's going inside you. I can sit down with someone and describe to them exactly how they're feeling right now. And they go, "How do they know that? How was it when I sat down with him and Billy was telling me his story? How did I think that he was telling my story? How did I think someone had told him about me?" Because he knew. See, our dark past is the most powerful thing we've got on a 12-step call. Sometimes we go into meetings, a newcomer comes into a meeting, and these folks, we sit down and we try and scare him into staying. And he goes around the room and everybody tells their worst drunk story. And it gets into now top this. And so by the time it's got back to the end of the room, he's not even, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff going on. There's murders and whatever, prison sentences. This guy, I mean, it might not even be a guy. It might be a businesswoman, a functioning drunk that walks into, I was a functioning alcoholic for most of my alcoholism. Walks into a meeting and there's some guys going there about prisons and about abuse and all this kind of stuff. She doesn't identify at all. But if somebody started to talk about the solution in that meeting, then it would fill her with a vision of hope. And that's what we need to do in our meetings. We take our dark past to a 12-step call. This first bit, what they spend more time on chapter 12 than any other step. There's a whole chapter working with others. It talks about two visits. The first visit, what do you do on the first visit? And then what do you do on the second visit? Now, on the first visit, I think, this is just me, I think that you can go do a 12-step call if you're connected with a good group of Alcoholics Anonymous who are doing the deal and you're not finished the steps yet. You can't sponsor anybody, though. But you can go. I was told when I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous, don't give away anything you haven't got. But you can go out on a 12-step call, and even if you know nothing and you're on the first step, you can say to that person, "I don't know what's happening here, but there's some guys downtown who do. Come with me to a meeting and let's talk to them and find out what we do." So you can do a 12-step call. I was taken on 12-step calls 2 or 3 days after I was in the rooms. We had a telephone in the room. We met in a little convent, and it was a children's. It was like a kindergarten room, and there was little chairs, you know, just like good for us little kids' chairs. We were learning, you know, we were sitting in little kids' chairs, and there was little rows of pegs all around the room about waist high for me. you know. And we sat in these rooms, and the nuns, bless them, had put a phone in the corner of this room, in their kindergarten school room, for us in the evenings. And if that phone rang and our sponsor answered the phone, we knew we were going on a top circle. We knew. We were out there. So the group I walked into was very, very active. Then something happened along the line. Somewhere down the line, in the last 20-some-odd years, is that we stopped going on 12-step course. People started to come into meetings dried out and treatmentized, saying that they'd done the first 5 steps. And I was one of the people that believed them, that they'd done the first 5 steps. And they were talking slightly differently from the guys that I was, that were speaking to me in the rooms. They were speaking kind of different. And it sounded hip, slick and cool, because it was kind of like psychological kind of stuff. And it sounded like they had an awful lot of knowledge about alcoholism that I didn't have. All I knew was I drunk, I blacked out, I got sick, I was going insane, these steps helped me. That's what I knew. But these guys had all sorts of stuff. Now, and it sounded hip, slick and cool, and I believed them. And a lot of others, I believe a lot of us have believed them. And we got less and less wet drunks in the rooms. We was in this little schoolroom. There was an old settee at the back that a couple of members had actually asked the nuns if we could put in there. And this old settee was an old overstuffed thing with patches on it and stuff. And that's where the drunks used to sit. You go to sleep at meetings. And they used to walk in with a plastic bag clinking. And we'd say, don't bring that in here. This is a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. Leave that outside. And they used to leave their bottles outside and they used to sit and they'd slowly slip to the floor while we were having our meeting. Occasionally one would have a fit in the meeting. We saw people having alcoholic fits in meetings. I get to meetings, for many years I went to meetings and I never saw anybody like that. Everybody was clean and slick and saying that they'd done the steps and stuff. And then somewhere down the line, I read some of the instructions to do the steps in these treatment centres. Now, I'm not knocking treatment centres, believe me. They're great places. They're great places to detox. I don't want to detox somebody on my couch. It's dangerous. You see, one of the problems with alcoholism is that 3% of us, 15% of us that dry out, that detox, have some kind of fit. And 15% of those people that have a fit die. This is dangerous. Detoxing from alcohol is dangerous. Treatment centers, fine place, great place. It says in here, even on the Wasan, that if he is very ill, he needs hospital treatment. Take your prospect to a hospital if he needs. I had a guy that came to me one time. I'm sitting there talking to him, and I'm saying, and he just started. So I can't do this no more. And I asked him, tell me honestly how much you drink. I need to know how much you drink. And he said, well, at the moment, I'm just drinking beer. I'm drinking a lot of beer, but I'm just drinking beer. He looked to me like he was a spirit drinker. He looked to me like he was drinking a lot of spirits. He was shaky. He was really shaky. He was sweating and he was shaky. And I said to him, okay, fine. This is what you've got to do. You've got to start asking for power. Get yourself to a meeting tomorrow. Come see me before the meeting. We'll start to do this stuff. Yeah? I got I was waiting for him by the railway station and I got a very, very strange phone call. Very odd phone call. Then I heard the pump you. And I walked across the street and he's bouncing across the pavement. Now, if he'd have told me I'm drinking a bottle and a half of spirits a day, I'd have said to him, you need hospitalisation. You stop. You're going to have a problem. Sometime between 48 hours and 72 hours after stopping drinking, you get a fit. Some of us, not all of us, but you need to be under some kind of supervision. Yeah. There's instructions in the book on how to do it. Many of us keep liquor in the homes. You often need it to carry green recruits through severe hangovers. They used to taper them off at home. I don't want to have to do that today. I'm not qualified. There are people who are qualified. Yeah. But they come out of these places with things like, I heard what's that? Relapse prevention plans and trigger lists. Now, on page 101 of this book here, assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. People have said that we must not go where liquor is served. We must not have it in our homes. We must shun friends who drink. We must avoid moving pictures, show drinking scenes. We must not go into bars. Our friends must hide their bottles if we go into their houses. We mustn't think or even be reminded of alcohol at all. Our experience shows it's not necessary. My experience is absolutely that. See, because if I've got step 10 promises, it doesn't mean anything to me anymore. It might as well be battery acid, that's what I'm saying. It's fine inside you, but it doesn't go inside me. And I'm cool with that. It's the same with drugs and other stuff. Except I don't want to be hanging around with people who are acting out because I find that disturbing. The role of a sponsor. I've got a thing here I'm going to leave behind you. The role, it talks about sponsor and it talks about the job of a sponsor. And my job as a sponsor on the second visit is that I've had a spiritual experience as a result of working these steps. What is the message of Alcoholics Anonymous? The message of Alcoholics Anonymous is contained in the 12th step. It says the message of Alcoholics Anonymous is having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. That's the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's the only one we got. Just like I said the other day, that if you're hiding behind the fact that the 12 steps are only a suggestion, it's the only suggestion we got. This guy that can't meet these conditions, that can't go anywhere, it says here, has an alcoholic who cannot meet them, still has an alcoholic mind. Untreated alcoholic. I can't go anywhere. I'm as shut down when I stopped drinking as I was when I was drinking. I never left my house when I was drinking, except to go down and buy another bottle. If I can't go out there and mix it with life and go anywhere, because I take my power with me, then I'm just as shut down as I ever was before. It means I have no life. But it says somewhere in this book that we absolutely insist on enjoying life. We insist on it. I do. I have a ball. Now, I met someone a few years ago who was sitting in the back of a meeting with his back to the wall, with his face contorting in all sorts of different directions, sitting on his hands, shaking and not knowing what to do. And I looked at him and I thought, you are disturbed and suicidal. Where do you get from that? You get there. He was disturbing when I first met him. He was disturbing. He may be disturbing now in Alcoholics Anonymous. I hope so. I hope I'm disturbing now. I hope, because it says in here, we may have disturbed you on the question of alcoholism. I hope we have. It's a killer disease. It can only be recovered from by a spiritual awakening of some kind. Either a spiritual experience or spiritual awakening. That's the only message we've got. My job as a sponsor is to show the sponsee and walk the sponsee through, backed up by my experience, these 12 steps as they're laid out in here. I don't use the 12 and 12 because there is no directions on how to work the steps in the 12 and 12. I've been to many, many step meetings where we use the 12 and 12. I get confused. I get confused. They are essays. This is where the directions are in this book. My job as a sponsor is to get the sponsee connected through his own power as fast as possible. And then, well, they're going. I'm there available, because what happens with a line of sponsorship, is that my sponsor has an awful lot more experience than I have. His sponsor has an awful lot more experience than he has. And my sponsees could come to me and say, I've got a problem with a new guy. And it's great You know, somewhere down the line it changes. Somewhere down the line it changes. I have a problem. To, I have a problem with a new guy. When I hear that, I go, good. Because now, I'm not going to be in this guy's shit anymore. He's got his power. He's taking that power to someone else. So now we can start work. Now we're going down the line. Now it's beginning to work. Now, if I don't know the answer, I say I don't know. But because I've got a sponsor, I get on the phone. I get on email. I get in touch with my sponsor and say, hey, we've got this problem. Because it's my problem, because he's my sponsee. We got this problem. What do you? What's your experience on this? If he doesn't know, he's going to tell me, he's going to go back down the line. And if not, there's also, I know, that we can sit together as a group and go, hey, we've got this problem. It's sort of what we did with this guy on the street. He tried all of this. And we all sat together and said, well, this has happened, that's happened, that's happened, that's happened. We're big news guys. He's not serious, he's not interested in getting well, he's just interested in getting stuff. Cool. So we've used our experience, we've created our experience. Here's the thing, on the front of my book, this is our symbol. If your book hasn't got this, something's happened here. Alcoholics Anonymous has lost this. Or let it go. Apparently what happened was, this is our symbol, it's a circle in the triangle, and apparently somewhere down the line it was decided not to defend it. Other people started to use it, or there's some copyright stuff going on. Actually, Alcoholics Anonymous General Service Conference in England has actually copyrighted it. Now, my book has got it in the beginning there. Now, if yours hasn't got it in that beginning there, and you haven't got the circle and triangle in your big book drawn in there, because this is very important. This triangle is made up of three sides in a circle. The circle is a very, very ancient symbol of either the universe, the body, the whole. I take it as being the body. And within this body, there's three sides to this triangle. And the base of our triangle is recovery. I can't do anything without recovery. How do I get recovery? I get recovery by working the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous with the guide of a sponsor. This book was designed to be worked by yourself. This was sent out from New York in the early days, and actually, it's designed to be able to sit down and actually work through this book. And it can be done. However, I think language has changed somewhat. I think values have changed a little bit. And I think experience has come on a little bit. And so now, I like to do this with a guide. But it is possible to do it with a book. But the other two sides of the triangle I've got it on mine, actually got it written down there on mine. Recovery, unity is the other side. Now unity is the fellowship. Now remember that I read out yesterday, I said this is a solution on which we can absolutely agree. I can take this solution in some meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous and they don't agree with this solution. They tell me in some meetings, don't bring that book in here. We don't want to hear about the big book. Unity. Unity of the method. Unity of the fellowship. Yeah. We've been accused of splitting AA. Six of us. And also that list of telephone 12-step responders, there was maybe half a dozen on there, at least four or five were from our group. Because that's what we do. Because we're excited about it. We get fired up about this. Because we get, it's exciting. It is exciting. We go into all sorts of, you can get into all sorts of strange places. Recovery, unity, and service. Now, that triangle within a circle, if you draw a triangle within a circle, it's generally an equilateral triangle. is my program or my life in AA three-sided? Is it equal? Am I flatlining on recovery? So am I so tied up in these steps that I don't do anything else except inventory after inventory after inventory after inventory? It sounds like that's what we do. It's not like that. It's not like that. It's a daily discipline. It just takes it takes me 45 minutes in the morning. It takes me a couple of minutes during the day. It takes me about 10 minutes at night. So maybe I spend an hour with God every day. The rest of the time I get on with my life. I generally spend maybe half an hour, three quarters of an hour on the telephone every day with sponsors and people that I talk to, but that's one of those deals. That's part of what I do. I maybe I go out and I do hospital sometime, whatever. How many meetings do I do? I have fellowship twice a week. Go to a meeting twice a week. I talk with my fellows at other times. And service? I do service within the meetings. I'm a treasurer of a meeting. I'm literature rep for another meeting. I do whatever I can around the meeting. So I've got to balance my recovery here and put all this thing together and try and get that triangle into equilateral. It's not always like that. Sometimes the service side's a bit big and the triangle goes really lopsided, and maybe the baseline moves up a little bit, gets longer, and whatever. So it's not always. It's going to be changing, and that's the dynamic of it. And that's the wonderful thing about this way of life, is it's dynamic. And there's something going on all the time. And it says somewhere in here, and I'm not going to be able to find it. It says that we can go into the most sordid places on this 12-step work. Simon will know where it is. There it is. He says, your job is to be in a place where you can be a maximum usefulness and helpfulness to others. Oh, there's another job. I've got another job now. So I get into the middle of life. I'm going to meet alcoholics if I'm in the middle of life. If I'm just sitting in meetings with Alcoholics Anonymous or sitting at home doing inventories, that's not going to be no good. I've got to put myself right into the middle. My job now is to be at the place where you may be a maximum usefulness to others. Now, God showed me that's actually working, and that's getting out, and that's doing some stuff. And what's really interesting is that this year, I'm working outside a lot. It's one of those things. It says, so never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. You should not hesitate to visit the most sordid spot on earth on such an errand. Sometimes those sordid spots, and I actually have fear sometimes of going into meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous, because sometimes they're sordid spots. Because I get shot at. Mm-hmm. I had an instance about 2 years ago where half the meeting, when I was half, when after starting to share, about 3 minutes into my share, the half the meeting got up and walked out. Fellowship, huh? I got away from that meeting, I went away from that meeting, I drove home, I'm crying. This was about 4 years ago. And I got on the phone to my sponsor and I said, I don't think I'm doing this right. He said, yes, you are. You're doing this right. You've got to keep on doing it. Why don't you start a meeting? Why don't you take your spot, find some people that want to do this stuff and start a meeting of your own? And we started in my apartment. That's how we started. We started to study the big book. Some other folks came along. 12 steps and folks, we got some other folks together. We became a group. We call ourselves a group. We have two meetings. We have a group. We are the primary purpose group. What we do is carry this message. We're willing to go into the most sordid spots on earth. We go into a secure psychiatric unit. I don't know how we got in there. It's French speaking. We take this message in French. We're English, for goodness sake. I speak French like a Spanish. Yeah. That's the one. Conversion Spaniel. But I got a guy nodding the other day. I got a guy identifying with me, even with my bad French. Because I'm using the book in French. I'm using the words in the book in French. Yeah. I'm going to learn French through the book. It's a good way to learn French. It says, keep on the firing line of life. I sometimes have to duck bullets. And with these motives, God will keep you unharmed. That's a promise. God will keep me unharmed. I can go to the most sordid spot on earth. God will keep me unharmed on this errand.
you know.
You've been extremely patient, and I'm going to finish on this stuff, and I'm just going to be extremely patient. You've been extremely patient with us, and it's really great. You know, Dr. Bob, he last 10 years of his life working with alcoholics, and I reckon he must have, a conservative estimate is 5,000 alcoholics he worked with. And he said, I spend a great deal of my time passing on what I've learned to others who want and need it badly. I do it for four reasons. Sense of duty. It is a pleasure. You bet it is. It's the most amazing thing. Because in doing so, I'm paying a debt to the man who took time to pass it on to me. Yeah, I'm paying my debt to Billy. Billy isn't alive anymore, but I am, because of Billy. Because Billy took the time to come and see me. Yeah. And because every time I do, I take out a little bit more insurance for myself against a possible slip. So it's okay, so that's the selfish bit, if you like. Because somebody once said to me that every 12-step call you ever make is successful if you don't drink. I let go of what I carry the message and say, okay, here it is. I lay this kit of spiritual tools at their feet. If they don't want it, I don't waste my time. It's a waste of energy. If I come away from a 12-step call energized, I've done a good job. If I come away from a 12-step call drained, then I've been locked in there somewhere. And I you see, people suffering from active alcoholism, drunk or sober, for me, seem to be like kind of this odd word, but spiritual vampires. They'll suck me dry. And I will spend a great deal of energy trying to convince them that they should do this stuff. And I come away absolutely like this one. It's not up to me, it's up to God. It's up to them to make the decision. It says, and Dr. Bob goes on, and Dr. Bob doesn't mince his words here. Dr. Bob was a very straight-talking doctor, and he had a lot of, I'd love to have met him, because he apparently used a lot of slang and stuff, and he was good stuff. But on page 181, it says, if you think you are an atheist, or an agnostic, a skeptic, and he calls this, if you have any other form of intellectual pride. So he's saying atheism, agnosticism, and skeptic is a form of intellectual pride, which keeps you from accepting what is in this book. I feel sorry for you. If you still think you are strong enough to beat the game alone, that's your affair. Have a nice life. Go party. Get done. Yeah? But if you really and truly want to quit drinking liquor for good and all, not day at a time, good and all, and sincerely feel that you must have some help, okay, so you tried it, you can't do it. Can't do it on your own power, you sincerely need some help. We know we have the answer for you. We know. He says, it never fails. Chapter 5 says, rarely have we seen a person fail. Dr. Bob, who's had more experience at this time than anybody else working with drugs, says it never fails. On one condition. If you go about it with one half, only half, the zeal you've been in the habit of showing when you were getting another drink. Not all of it, just half of it. Yeah, half the energy. And it says, yeah, your Heavenly Father will never let you down. The last chapter of this book, Vision for You, filled me with a vision. The first three pages of it filled me with a vision of my second meeting. It described what it's like to be a drunk, it described what it's like to get sober, and I said, yeah, I want some of this. And this is the bit that everybody gets hold of in Middle of the Road Solution, Contemporary AA. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Somebody once said to me, it's suggested like a parachute when you're jumping out of an aeroplane. We suggest you pull the ripcord. But you can delay pulling the ripcord as long as you like. When you get out of the plane, it's called skydiving. Yeah? Now, when I pull the ripcord, I start working the steps. And I come down real gently. I come out the plane and I'm skydiving, I'm plummeting. And there's somewhere between, it's not the first 7,000 or 8,000 feet that's going to matter, it's the last 6 feet that's going to kill me. When my feet touch the deck, that's what's going to kill me. Yeah. And I can choose to pull that ripcord all the way down. And I can have this terrifying fall without drinking, if you like, in AA. But I can choose to pull the ripcord anywhere down that ladder. If I choose to pull the ripcord straight away out the plane as soon as I get in and work these steps as soon as I get in, I'm going to have a great ride. Because I'm going to get to see a lot of stuff along the way down. Because without that sort of high perspective, you can see a long way. And I'm going to have an experience. If I'm falling like this and I'm not pulling no ripcord, it's going to be full of fear and it's going to be a nasty experience and it's going to be a horrible end. It's going to get me in the end. We realise we know only a little. They did. They only knew a little. 5 years sober, the longest person sober in Alcoholics Anonymous at this time. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you would do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you don't have. Get it. Get it. See to it that your relationship with him is right. How do you do that? Work the steps. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact with us. Or for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. They believed in multiple fifth steps in those days. I've done a multiple fifth step. It's cool. I want everybody to know about what's going on. I want to be transparent. Transparent. I want to live my life like I don't care about if anything I do is published. I say things like, will I take God with me right now here? If it's no, I still go there sometimes. But it's a warning for me that I shouldn't start hang out in those places. If I can't take my power with me, I shouldn't hang out there. Clear away the wreckage of your past. 9. Give freely what you have and join us. 12. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. Oh, there's two fellowships in Alcoholics Anonymous. There's the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, and there's the fellowship of the Spirit in Alcoholics Anonymous. The fellowship of the Spirit in Alcoholics Anonymous, I know now to be the people who are doing this work. I'm very privileged to walk with some of these people. Giants in Alcoholics Anonymous. Mm. Giants. And we were sure to meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. You know? I can't keep a dry eye on screen now. I can't read the last one, but it says, may God bless you and keep you until then. Meet with us on this road of happy destiny. I've done that. I've met with people on the road of happy destiny. It's an amazing thing. The reason why I don't waste my time with newcomers is I'm getting on now. I've got maybe 20 years. That's what we get. If I waste my time now, I might not get somebody further down the line and be able to pass this on. Yeah. I want to pass this on to as many people as I can before I go. Yeah. Because it was freely given to me, and I do it for free and for fun. For fun and for free. Yeah. It's a great life. I'm very grateful for this weekend. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just want to say this and close. There are a lot of hard drinkers in Alcoholics Anonymous and a lot of moderate drinkers in Alcoholics Anonymous that do not have to have a deep and effective spiritual experience in order to recover, and that who do not have to work the 12 steps and to work with others in order to recover. And under the third tradition, they're welcome if they've got the only requirement is a desire to stop drinking. I want to say these two things and then I'll close. If your sponsor is telling you anything different to what this program tells you to do, I would certainly hold it suspect. If you are a real alcoholic and you're looking for a solution, find us. We are out there. About 2-3 weeks ago, there was a woman in a meeting where we were. Another woman had qualified her. She didn't identify with a physical allergy. She didn't identify with the mental obsession. But she was turning up to close meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. This woman hadn't worked any of the steps, and I knew she wasn't a real alcoholic. And I made it my business to go to her at the end of the meeting and suggest that she go to open meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. Why? Is because that woman unintentionally will pass across bad information to a real woman alcoholic. And I said to her that she is not welcome in a closed meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous because she is an alcoholic. And she agreed with me. She didn't like it, but she agreed with me. Okay? And I don't really care, because I have a responsibility, one primary purpose, to carry this message and to make sure that everyone, the real alcoholic in these rooms where I'm from, gets to hear this message. If your sponsor is telling you anything different than what this book says or what these 12 steps say, and you are a real alcoholic, I would search out a real alcoholic and start to do this deal. If you cannot and have not identified with anything that we've said, and don't agree with anything that we've said over this weekend, absolutely forget it. If you have, and you're in these rooms and you're suffering, come visit us. Come study this book with us. We're only a few hours down the road. If you're sitting in meetings, open discussion meetings, and the message isn't being carried, and you're sitting in those meetings and you're suffering, you have a right to try and change the format of that meeting through a group conscience. And if that meeting does not want to change through a group conscience, you get to go and start your own meeting based on the literature, based on the big book. If you want to know where this comes from sheer experience, but behind our group is the primary purpose group in Dallas, Texas, and they can be found at www.ppgaadallas.org. We're down the road. Come visit us, come study with us. If you get sick of open discussion meetings or getting sick of living sober meetings, try and change it through a group conscience or start your own meeting based on the literature. Behind all of this, the experience, there is a great website out there called XA Speakers. And if you want to hear more about this, because it goes beyond what Peter and I have been sharing about, it goes beyond this. There is a website out there, www.xa-speakers.org. And there is a whole website of speaker after speaker after speaker carrying the message of Alcoholics Anonymous through the big book. And I'll share this on, not for any other value, because it's helped me, it may help you. Guys like Chris R. out of Ingram, Texas. Myers R. out of Dallas, Texas. Peter M. out of Union, New Jersey. Don P. out of Aurora, Colorado. Type those in, listen to where this comes from. This goes beyond this. And I personally need to thank those people that I've just mentioned. I personally want to thank Julia for this invitation and for a great weekend. Thank all of you for your hospitality in making this conference. If there's anything that we can do, or I can do, and I'm pretty sure I can speak for Peter as well, grab us after this, we'll hang around, we'll swap emails. If you want to do any of this stuff, we can help you get connected to where you need to get connected to. Thanks for giving me the chance to work with others this weekend. Thanks for giving me a chance to carry this message about the program. Out of the first 164 pages of the Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous. It probably helped me more than it has you. I'll leave it there, thanks. Thank you.